This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we're in the Quicken Loans studios on CBS Sports Radio. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans apply. Simply understand fully. Mortgage confidently. Let's get focused. We got tons of baseball left. It starts tomorrow night with Cubs Cardinals, then Friday a full slate in the majors. PharrellOnTheBench.com always delivers every day, and you know what I'm doling out. Locks, baby. Football's coming soon, preseason NFL, then college football blasts off. You need to be a member of PharrellOnTheBench.com, so sign up today. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by GEICO. Hey, everybody, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to GEICO. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all at GEICO.com. I know one thing, Mafia. Tomorrow night at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, tune in to CBS Sports Network and follow the stories of struggle and strength of some of the world's greatest athletes. It's the 2018 CrossFit Games, Road to the Fittest, on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. There you go. Mafia, what do we have going on in here? Another training session that you've started. This is two in, I believe, 1 week. We've had two guys training this week. Tell us about your latest victim here. Introduce yourself.
How you doing? I'm Dave Ettinger.
Dave, my man. So, now, have you been doing stuff at the Fan, too? What's the deal?
Yeah, so they trained me first at the Fan, first on tape, and then on the board at the Fan, and now I'm over here.
So what did you do? Where did you come from?
I graduated from SUNY Old Westbury in December, and just started here about a month ago. So
cool. So you got out in December, and then what'd you do? Look for a gig up until then, and then you scored this one?
Yeah, just was on the job search, and got lucky over here about a month ago.
Are you stoked about it?
Loving it.
Cool, man. So are you going to be running the boards on both the Fan and on our network, or doing a little bit of everything?
That's it. I'm a renaissance man, you know?
Mr. Versatile. He does everything.
That's it. I'm learning from the best, you know?
So Mafia, by the way, trains everyone here. Did you know that? Everyone that comes through the building goes through Mafia. He's always, like, the mobster training all the new, like, engineers, board ops, producers. He trains everyone on how to do their gigs. It's a very – and he's good at it, and he's cool. So it's not like he's giving you heat or pressure.
No, he's been great. So
there you go.
Appreciate it.
Well, congratulations. Good job.
Thank you.
Here we go. So I want to get these calls on and everything. There's a lot of people on here. Pat in Providence, Rhode Island, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Bro, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, bro.
I wanted to touch base on what you were talking about with the Julio Jones stuff earlier. I know it pissed you off, so I'll keep it quick.
Right.
And, the problem is, I think, he sees a guy like Brandon Cooks, who's a much inferior wide receiver, and I feel like we're going to start seeing this a lot with guys saying, oh, if he makes this much, why am I not making this much? So I think he's doing this, and I think you're going to see it from other guys, too. And that's, I know it's a random transition, but that's going to lead me into the NBA.
But hold on. Before you go to the NBA, and I'll let you do that, but let me say this. This has been going on since the start of time. The athletes that have, you know, signed deals, and then those that follow in the years after sign better deals, and the guys that sign the earlier fat deal, seeing someone else make a fatter deal makes them upset. But it doesn't change the fact that timing is everything. If Julio Jones' contract was up right now, we'd be talking about how much money he's going to get, and he'd be making $90 million over Brandon Cooks easily, right? But instead, Mr. Genius Jones and his agent signed that deal in 2015 till 2020. And you know what? It's 2018. He needs to realize that timing is everything, and he got his moment. He had his big day at the conference room with the owner signing Blank's contract in front of him. He already did it. So, like, he already bit. You know, he's the guy that you know, bit, signed a deal, committed, and now wants a new deal because some other guy made more money. It's been going on since the beginning of time. Guys upset about new guys' contracts. What do you think a guy like that, you know, let's say Carson Wentz signs a deal, right, with the Eagles and coming out of college, signs his deal, blah, 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 blah. And then what do you think he thinks like 2 years later when guys that aren't can't even hold his onions are making double what he's making? There's nothing he can do about it. Timing's everything. This is when you were signed. This is the deal you committed to, and you need to live up to it. I firmly believe that's the way the world works. It's not the NFL's fault that you signed your deal in 2015 and Brandon Cooks got a better deal in 2018. That's not the NFL's fault. That's timing. Your deal came in 2015. It's called you lose. You still win. He made $71 million, but he's not getting a better deal than Cooks because timing is now. It's Cooks' time now. Jones' time was then. So, you know, any way you slice it, there's no way you're going to convince me that he deserves the money. He already did the deal. Shut up. Live up to it. And then when it's your turn again, you know, put up these huge numbers again that you do, which aren't even huge anymore. His touchdowns are terrible. His red zone's terrible. We've already had this conversation. Did we not have on Chris Domino in Atlanta all the time talking about how much he – I mean, did he not come on the show, Domino, and say that he doesn't like Jones? And John Kincaid, too, both of them. Did we not? Am I wrong? So we've had this conversation about Julio Jones before. I don't deny that he's a great receiver. Fair enough. But I do argue against him wanting a new deal because he already did the deal. And you got to live up to it. At least 4 years of it. And then, because you know what? In the third year, they'll probably cut you anyway. So they're not going to pay you the money anyway. But I can see why you're upset. But that's called you lose. Timing is everything. It wasn't your time. It was his time. And the next rookie class, like Mayfield, he's going to get rich. And there's nothing anyone can do about it from last year. And then next year, then some guy's going to sign for even more money. And there's nothing they can do about it. It's the way the world works. Pat, what do you want to say about the, what was it, Kawhi?
No, just the NBA in general. This leads me to another point. It's kind of the opposite of it. One thing I've never understood, and I kind of wanted to hear your take on it, you look at a guy like LeBron who has signed, what is it, a four-year, $164 million ridiculous contract. All the NBA contracts are ridiculous, but that's beside the fact.
Right.
If I'm LeBron, his plan, the Magic's plan is to get guys in there. He wants guys to come in and, you know, build his own little super team. You know?
All right, so
if I'm LeBron James, I'm not taking that full contract. I'm saying give me $20 million and let's spread this money around. He makes how much money off his shoes alone? He doesn't need the max deal. But I feel like that, once again, is these guys just being greedy, wanting everything. And if he takes $20 million, maybe you can sign two, three more superstars, opposed to maybe where you're cutting it a little close, taking the max deal.
Well, let me just say, good points all around. I think that he's, you know, this is just me. That guy, he's already made a boatload of money. He's like, you know, a billionaire. And he's making, you know, more money now off the court with his movies, TV shows, and clothing, and his shoes, and his Nike deal, it would appear to me. Now, someone has already said to me, remember this, is that, and we've had this conversation on the air, that your, and I was talking about it the other night, Rich Paul, his agent, said that the only thing that matters is his basketball deal. All this other stuff is just, you know, side hustle, if you will. It's like all these other deals he's got going and all these things he does and all these businesses he's doing and movies and everything, it's all side hustle. That the only thing that matters is his basketball and that he signed those contracts and he's made a boatload of money, right? So I don't believe, frankly, that he needs the money at all. I actually think the contract of what he got with the Lakers is, you know, relatively meaningless at the end of the day, considering how much money he already has. Like, I honestly think this guy has more money than God. You're talking about, like, literally, he's like a billionaire now. And I think that he just doesn't need anything at all. So I think he wants the money because of his services, right? He plays at the highest level. He's the best player in the world. And he deserves to be paid like it. And I think that we all know what he turned down to go to the Lakers, right? He can do whatever he wants. So I don't think the money is what his focus is, because I think his real vision, even though Rich Paul will tell you basketball is all that matters, I actually think he's already done everything in basketball that he'll do except break a bunch of new records. I think he'll eventually break every record in the NBA in the next 5 years. He'll own every record in the NBA, literally all of them. But I think that he'll have so much money accumulated and accrued through all of these business ventures and his contracts that, like, the last thing in the world he needs to worry about, frankly, is money. I mean, honestly, I don't even think the guy worries about anything. But what could he possibly worry about with, like, in terms of finances? You and I have those problems. That guy doesn't have those problems. Like, you know, when he goes out, he could pay for everyone's dinner in the restaurant 400 times over and not worry about it. He can do whatever he wants fiscally. You and I live check to check and suffer in life, and he has everything, like money you'll never know. So remember that when you go to bed. Dave in Dallas on the ticket. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Pharrell. Thanks for taking my call, man.
Yeah, man.
I got to tell you, I really think the Raptors are making a mistake with this deal. Do you really see Kawhi staying in Toronto? I mean, I just love the fact that Popovich, you know, he asked for sunny California, and he says, oh, yeah, I'll send you to Canada.
Well, one of the things I think that you're looking at here is the same kind of scenario that we were just talking about. This guy is going to have a chance. Toronto can offer him 5 years and $190 million, or he can leave and go to the Lakers for 4 years and $141 million and as an unrestricted free agent. He can do whatever he wants. He's going to walk away from, it would appear to me, whatever the difference is there, $50 million, right? He's going to walk away from $50 million to do what he wants in life. He believes that the receipt for enjoying his life and going where he wants to play, the Los Angeles Lakers, next year will be worth $50 million to him lost. Because I don't think he also needs to worry about money. When you have as much money as these guys have already, and you're sitting there getting max deals handed to you, you know, left and right, and you turn them down, it's obvious to me that the money doesn't matter to them because they already have more money than you can even imagine. So when you have more than anyone can imagine, what's a little more? Or what's $50 million less to a guy that's got hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank? I mean, honestly. When you have hundreds of millions of dollars, now a lot of people, like I think in business, like billionaires in big business on Wall Street and these, you know, hedge fund guys and everything else that have all this money, the one percenters, I think that they actually are the penny pinchers that are frugal and care about their money. I think they worry about the money more than the athlete. I think the athletes, this is me, this is just off the top of my head guessing here. Hypothetically, I believe that they actually are stupid, and they, for the most part, I'm saying, you know, I'm going to say 60% of them are stupid. So they have to have other people, you understand, handle their money. So the estate planners, like our boy Big Daddy, and all these people that do the estate planning and all your money and handle your bills and handle your investments and handle your trust funds and your kids' college funds and your savings, they handle all that for you because you're an idiot. So you have someone do it for you. And then what happens is they end up stealing from you. And then we hear about that 10 years later, right? That the guy stole all my money. We've heard that 50 times, haven't we? Or we've heard from, you know, the boxers that had $500 million. Now they have nothing and can't buy a ham sandwich. So my point is that I think athletes blow through money way more than billionaires that count every penny, that are cheap. Have you ever heard of the billionaires that are like cheap? They never give anybody anything. They just keep it all themselves. You've heard of that, right? So the athletes, their problem is, what athlete do you know that doesn't have like 9 cars in his driveway or 7 mansions all over the country in different cities? Like, did I not tell you, like LeBron's got them everywhere. Mayweather's got a home in every city, Miami, L.A., Vegas. I mean, Brady had just sold his $14 million, wasn't it, his condo in New York City? I mean, he plays for the Patriots, but he's got to have a pad in Central Park, right? I mean, these guys blow through money like it's growing on trees. So my point is that I think that the athletes, more often than not, that's me, are irresponsible with their money because no one knows what to do when you got $200 million in your pocket. You just party like a rock star, bro. You do whatever you want. You see these guys when they go to a club, they spend $200,000 on bottles and throw $100 bills at strippers, right? Don't they? You don't see Warren Buffett doing that, do you? When has Warren Buffett been to the strip club? Seriously. Do you see Mark Cuban throwing his money around like an idiot? Seriously. It's the athletes that blow through the money because they're stupid. You wonder why they all go broke later in life? It's because they're stupid. Now, I said 60% of them. So I'll give you 40% of them are very smart and are way ahead of the curve when it comes to saving that money and never working another day the rest of their life and taking care of their kids and their grandkids and their grandkids. 40% of them, I think, are really smart and know what they're doing. You know, guys like Justin Tuck, brilliant guy, Wharton School of Business, went to Notre Dame. Now he's working at Goldman Sachs, right? He knows what he's doing with his money. Even his charities, he's smart. But there's 60% of the athletes are not. They're dumb. And that's just all there is to it. Anyone that wants to argue that with me, feel free. Because I know, listen, I know 10 athletes very well by, you know, friendships. Four of them are really smart and six of them are stupid. They're great guys. They're good friends of mine. But they're not smart with their money. They blow through their money. They always buy. They always, you know, planes and private jets and front row to everything and luxury suites and big, huge, you know, five-star hotels and resorts and vacations and bring all their friends and pay for everybody's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I mean, that's just stupid at some point. That's everybody leeching off of you, right? So there you go. 855-212-4-CBS.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, so, Mafia, what did you think when you saw your boy Revis Island retire?
You know, it's time. He was not the same as he was, you know, years ago. He was the best corner in the league for like 4 or 5 years, but, you know, ever since he left to go to Tampa, just fell off little by little, and, you know, it's a good time for him to hang it up.
So,
Hall of Fame, probably one of the best shutdown corners ever.
Yeah, I think he's going to the Hall of Fame. He was a great player.
He was awesome. Like, you could not throw on him for a good 3 or 4 years.
He had a window of excellence, for sure.
And he's not one of these guys that just covered one side or, you know, just played a zone or something like that. He was a guy that, who's your best receiver? Okay, I'm going wherever he goes, and you're not throwing the ball to him.
So, anyway, they had all this, you know, ESPYs and everything tonight, which I don't care about. But I do care about Jim Kelly. JK, one of our favorites here, all-time legend on the bench and in sports, one of the great athletes of our time, if you remember his brilliance as the quarterback of the Buffalo Bills. And he got the Perseverance Jimmy V Award at the ESPYs in L.A. And he urged fans to make a difference in others' lives by keeping a smile on their face. Anyway, he was accompanied to the stage with his daughters and thanked each for their support during his ongoing, just lengthy battle with oral cancer that has just taken so much from him. Every single time Aaron walked into the hospital, not one time did she ever have a frown on her face. It was always, "Daddy, you look so good. You're so cute." And she would give me a hug. My daughter, Cameron, so many times she would hug me, and I didn't want her to I didn't want to let her go. Even today when she hugged me, I didn't want to let her go. Make a difference today for someone who is fighting for their tomorrow, he said. When I look across the arena, when I talk to people, you don't need to be Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers to make a difference. Every single person in this room can be a difference maker. You can be a normal person that gets up every morning and goes to work, but you can be a difference maker, putting smile on those faces. My kids, my friends, when they come to see me, not once did they ever have a frown on their face. So I just urge everyone out there, if you have somebody who's suffering, that has cancer. It doesn't have to be cancer, though. It could be somebody not having a good day. It could be your mom or your dad. It could be your grandparents. You want to say to them, the smile that you have on your face, that could be a difference in making them to the next day. Remember that. Always persevere. Never give up. There you go. An emotional colleague took the stage after viewing a video remembering his son, Hunter, who died in 2005 of crab disease. It's never easy to watch a video about my son. So many times I've dreamt and continue to dream about my son, Hunter, and what he's meant in my life and will never stop. He thanked his wife, Jill, during the speech. He continues to recover from March surgery to remove oral cancer in his mouth, upper jaw. Kelly first had surgery. You've seen him. He struggled mightily. Doesn't even sound like himself or anything. He's just had so much of a battle. He first had surgeries in his jaw in 2013, later 2014, chemo and everything else. Cancer returned in his sinuses, and there he is. He was at a clinic in New York on Tuesday. He said he'll travel to see his New York City-based doctors during the second week of August for an unexpected checkup. It's something came up in his recovery from his oral surgery. So that doesn't sound good. I don't want to hear that he has to go back because something's come up. I really don't want to hear that. But I love Jim Kelly. I just such an inspiration as a player and as after a playing career and his battle with cancer. I stand up to cancer. I have so many friends that have suffered and I've lost because of cancer. My sister, my mother, everyone I know, I stand up to cancer. Cancer sucks. I hate you dead. But I love Jim Kelly and I hope he makes it. And I'm pulling for him for sure. Ike and Indy, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Like an ice cold long neck genuine draft, Laurel?
Absolutely. We just put in a keg of that, so you'll enjoy this freshie. There you go.
As far as Julio is concerned, he's using the oldest ploy in football. The veterans that know they're secure, all of a sudden they want more money. He knows he's not going to get more money. He just doesn't want to go to camp this year. Every year, there's four or five veterans that claim they want more money. They just don't want to come to camp. As soon as camp's over, he'll show up. Everything will be just fine.
Well, I think I have no problem with that type of thinking because it's true. None of these guys really want to go to that stupid camp to begin with because it's a pain in the ass. And I've always said that it's just a perfect time to go have your season ruined with a magnificent injury that costs one of your top players the whole season. I do not believe in those things at all. Everybody says they got to put their work in. How does my ass sound? I mean, honestly, Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, Julio Jones, Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers, it goes on and on. Even average quarterbacks that are overrated, Carr, all the rest of them. Philip Rivers, are you seriously going to tell me Philip Rivers needs to go throw the football for 3 weeks in a steamy camp somewhere? It's the biggest waste of time ever. You can talk about it all you want to me till the cows come home of how hugely important training camp is. You know what it's important for? Rookies and second, third-year guys that need to learn the playbook. That's it. No veteran that's been there 10, 15 years in this league needs to go to training camp. It's a waste of time. It's an injury waiting to happen. And everyone that holds out for more money, that signed a deal for 5 years and the highest paid guy in the league and then wants more money, screw them. 6 ways till Sunday. I'm sick of hearing about it. I keep telling you, timing's everything. It's not your time. Sign the next one. And if you don't like everybody else's deal, then quit playing. If you don't like what everybody else is making, then go do something else. Or get a side hustle going, sell drugs, do something, because you're not getting the money from him because you already signed the fat deal to begin with, and now you want more? Who are you kidding?
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
So Forbes releases their 2018 list of the world's most valuable sports teams for the 45th time this year. Do they not do this like every month? Is this not the story that just keeps on giving? They constantly tell us how much these franchises are worth. Who's the most valuable? The Forbes valuations. Have you ever seen this? They're just constantly doing this. And I'm not imagining things either. The Cowboys, valued at $4.8 billion, up 14% from last year. They have the highest revenue, $840 million, earnings of $350 million of any franchises. Massive global following soccer for Man U, valued at $4.1 billion, up to number two. Real Madrid up to number three at $4 billion. And then Barcelona valued at 4.06, the Madrid 4.09, up 12%. The Yankees, which is the world's second most valuable team last year, worth $4 billion. There you go. The world's most valuable sports teams of 2018 are worth a cumulative $137 billion. The average current value of those 50 teams is $2.7 billion. So, yeah. Julio Jones wants a raise. There you go. Dwayne Wade inks a lifetime deal with Chinese apparel company Li Ning. The funny thing is, I can't figure this out because his Sunshine Station or whatever in Australia where you... that's where you buy his shoes, right? Like, I get his shoes, and I get them from some company in Australia. I get the – remember Mafia? I get these D-Wade sent to my house with the great boxes and the bags and the socks and everything. His company's, like, in Australia. I don't understand why it's in China. I can't keep up with all the countries he's doing deals with. Steve Keim reports to jail for his two-day stint. 7 days of home detention will follow that. This is the interesting part of his extreme DUI. Not just that he was hammered, drunk, or that he was fined $200,000 and suspended for 5 weeks. It's just that they're putting him in jail for 2 days and then a 7 day home detention. What's he going to have, a monitor on his ankle? But 2 days in prison, not a bad deal when you're hammered driving a car. And then you don't lose your job. You don't, nothing happens to you. I mean, what 200,000 what is it, a five-week suspension? Is that what it is? And then now he has to do 2 days in jail for being a drunk, right? And then a week at home. Boy, that'll be tough for him, sitting at home on his fat ass. What do you think he'll do there, drink? My guess is he will. He'll probably drink it off. He'll just, you know, because, I mean... Oh, are we going to hear that he's found God, or is he going to talk about how he's not going to drink again? He's going to get sober overnight, right?
I think he'll only have one or two while he eats some pizza like he did that night.
Yeah, he just had one or two beers. He sounded like he had 40 when they interviewed him. These guys are so funny. I've learned my lesson. I'll never drink again. Yeah, call me after you haven't drank in 5 years. I don't ever believe anyone that tells me they're never going to drink again. Not even me. And I haven't drank in a long time. But I sure miss it. I just wanted to say, my dear friend, I know you're out there. Call me anytime. We'll hook up. We'll have Julio Jones pick up the tab. And I'm sure that somebody around here can give me some good advice of where to go for some, like, strippers or something. Anybody? Nobody? Nobody in the building? Anybody know anywhere I can get a good... No? No? All right. Michigan announces a 5-year contract with John Beilein after he was going to go to the Pistons. They should have given him a 10-year deal. So John Beilein is going to be rich now. Manny Pacquiao still wants to fight Floyd Mayweather. I just wanted to say before I leave tonight, that was the worst fight I've ever seen in my life. And I don't want to see it again. Thank you. Please, God, no. Don't rip off the public again like you did the first time with the worst fight in history, Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao. Can we not have that again in our lives? UFC double champ Cormier says that Brock Lesnar Mafia will be his last fight of his career. That's it. It's all for nothing. All or nothing. He's going to go all in. It's either beat Brock Lesnar or it's over.
Well, he might fight another fight at, you know, 205 before this year's out and then fight that one next year when Lesnar's eligible and get the big money and the big payday and right off into the sunset.
So so what that's saying is he may fight someone else, but he's going to make that his last fight.
Yeah.
All right, MLB is going to require Josh Hader to take fem classes in wake of his racist, homophobic tweets. Fem classes are sensitivity training. When you go to sensitivity training, you are now in full-scale fem classing. You're just going and doing fem work, which is, we're going to teach you how to behave now because you are a naughty boy. Sensitivity training. That's what my dad called it when he beat the crap out of me with a wooden mallet after I, you know, got caught with that ounce of weed in high school. That's sensitivity training. My ass was sensitive after he beat me 15 times with a paddle. And I had a, you know, raw red ass. So that was sensitivity training right there. And I didn't have to go to sit in a classroom with a bunch of other idiots and learn about being a good person. Is it going to teach him how to not hate black people or Asians or gays? Because he seems to hate all of them. And what about the women thing? It seems like he's got a real high regard for women. How does this guy honestly get away with that? You know why he got away with it? Because of Kawhi Leonard. I thought Jim Rome put it perfectly. The beneficiary of whatever, Machado, the Machado deal is Josh Hader, because no one's talking about Josh Hader today because of whatever. The Machado deal, the Kawhi Leonard deal, it pushed Josh Hader's hate right off the front pages.
I think it's all because also that people don't really know who hell he is outside of Milwaukee. I mean, if it was Justin Verlander doing this or Clayton Kershaw, it would be a lot bigger story.
Probably, but we all know who he is. He's a great pitcher, right? So, but he can apparently get away with it. What would happen to me if I said all those things? You think I'd be on the air tomorrow? No. We do have to see who's on the air tomorrow, too, by the way. But I should do stand-up on Saturdays. I really should, because I do have one open day. Actually, I don't have an open day anymore, do I, Mafia? The British Open odds are in, Mad Hatter. DJ Rory, among the favorites. Tiger is in there as well. Of course, Tiger Woods, always a favorite to win every single tournament known to man. 25-1 odds. He's going to win every tournament. Do you notice that every time there's a major, they talk about Tiger Woods like he's going to win it? Every single major, Tiger Woods is going to win. And he never wins anymore. He won all of his majors. That's over. That's done. Thank you, ma'am. Does anyone really believe he's going to win another one the way he putts? Honestly. He has great rounds of golf. He still can't win. Right? I mean, honestly. DJ's 12-1, Justin Rose 14-1, Ricky Fowler. How about this guy, 16-1? Ricky Fowler can't sniff a major, right? But he's favored. Rory's 18-1. I like Rory on links courses for sure. How about Tommy Fleetwood 18-1, Brooks Koepka 20-1, two-time U.S. Open winner. Jordan Spieth won it last year, right, at the British Open. Here he is again, 20-1, but he's had a horrible year. I don't see him doing it, do you? Justin Thomas, 25-1. Tiger, 25-1. Also, Patrick Reed, 30-1. Jason Day, 30-1. Phil, 50-1. Ian Poulter, 50-1. He doesn't matter anymore. Bubba, 60-1. Zach Johnson, 60-1. Adam Scott, 80-1. Thomas Peters, 80-1. I bet he plays well in Europe at Carnoustie. I think Thomas Peters will play better than 80-1. I like him. There you go. There's all the odds for the British Open, which starts like any minute now. Doesn't it start like overnight? Like in the morning, it's on first thing in the morning. He expects Rory, everyone's game plan to change at the Open. He said Carnoustie looks a lot different than when he started there as an 18-year-old wide-eyed amateur. Back then, he was winning the medal for low amateur as Paddy Harrington won the tournament in a playoff against Sergio Garcia. Here they are, back again at Carnoustie. He grew up with this kind of golf in Northern Ireland at Royal Portrush, but he loves, he won it at Royal Liverpool. He missed the event in 15 because of injury, and then was fifth 2 years ago at Troon and fourth last year at Royal Birkdale. I love Rory McIlroy in these links courses in the British Open. I really do. I think he's fantastic. He's a badass. He really is. Real quick, Mafia, Sacha Baron Cohen's Who is America? Did you see the show where he did the bit about the teaching third and fourth graders how to use guns and kill people?
No, I've not seen it yet.
I mean, it really was shocking. He does all these interviews with people that are like the people are real, but he's like a fake reporter. He like wears costumes and
right,
stuff.
So it's the same thing he did with like the Ali G show. He had right. People like set up like interviews with these people, like it was going to be something real. And then he'd come up as Ali G and just make stupid interviews.
Right. So it's crazy interviews. But the thing is, the people that he interviews are like legit.
Right.
So they're like talking about doing it and they mean it.
When he did the Ali G show, he interviewed Trump back in the day.
Yeah. I mean, this is the most unbelievable thing. I watched this thing. It was awful. But I will admit it was funny because it was so awful, it was funny, but he was funny because he was doing it with a straight face, these interviews. He interviewed this chick at a Laguna Beach, like, art place, an art gallery, about doing all of his art. He was an artist, and he did it prison art. So he said he did everything. He drew all of the paintings with his cable, and then he also used, he used bad things for, let's say, white. The white coloring on his paintings were another type of let's just say, paint. And it was just awful. It was just filthy and awful and horrible. And then the reviews are in. The worst ratings in the history of Showtime television. No one watched. It was an absolute tank, and they're thinking about getting rid of the show. Also, The Dark Knight, set for a 10th anniversary IMAX re-release. Was The Dark Knight the best you know, like Batman movie. Wasn't it like a Batman movie, The Dark Knight?
Part like the Batman Begins trilogy, the best Batman I've ever seen.
What that Dark Knight was?
Yeah.
Was that the one with the guy that died, right? The Joker?
Correct.
What was his name?
Heath Ledger.
That sucks he died because he was a great actor.
He was awesome. That was his best role.
Did he, did he OD or something?
Something like that.
Oh, that's terrible. But that was a great movie. He was really creepy in that movie as the Joker. He was awesome.
Played it perfect.
All right, really quick, I got 20 seconds. Troy in California.
Yo, what's going on?
Hey, bro, got to be quick.
All right, I was just saying that you were mentioning that LeBron was going to hold all these records.
Yeah.
Yet, when you look at it, I don't see him close to any of the records except maybe ones that he can get from longevity. He's not the best at rebounding. He's not the best at assists. He's not the best at steals. Not the best at scoring. What is he the best at?
Okay, so you think, let's just be clear, that LeBron sucks is what that phone call just got to. He's not good at anything. There you go. I'm just going to not talk to you. Rich in Toronto.
Yeah, Scotty, how you doing? Quick freshie if I can?
Yeah, get him a freshie. I got 5 seconds. Hurry up.
Quick reaction with you, Mafia, and your other partner there for Kawhi Leonard and the Raptor trade with
I think Kawhi Leonard's miserable that he's going to Toronto, and I think DeRozan's miserable he's going to San Antonio. In the end, I think DeRozan will find happiness in San Antonio, and Kawhi Leonard will find happiness in Los Angeles with the Lakers a year from now when he's done playing for the Raptors. For Mafia and the Mad Hatter and everyone involved in the show tonight, I'm Pharrell. Good night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.